wishing on a star. And I've studied all the stories and what our chances are. Then my heart starts beating faster, and it makes this disaster worse by far. So here I go. Oh, here I go. I love you so. So here I go.
That is Idina Menzel's incredible voice in If Then, the new musical on Broadway. You've also been hearing it in the Oscar-winning song Let It Go from the mega-hit movie Frozen for some time now. But it's been 9 long years since the Tony Award winner was last on Broadway in Wicked. She's finally back in If Then. It reunites her with Michael Greif, who directed her back in 1996 for her breakout performance as Maureen in the original production of Rent. Brian Yorkey wrote the book and lyrics for this unusual story. It follows a woman named Elizabeth as she follows two very different paths. And I'm so delighted that it's brought them all here to the Leonard Lopate Show. Michael Greif, Brian Yorkey, and Idina Menzel, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Wonderful to be here.
Idina Menzel, I have to ask you, do you get a little nervous when your name is pronounced on a live broadcast?
No, I don't. And people have mispronounced my name for years, just never that badly.
And I understand you and John Travolta have become buddies since the Oscars.
Yes, it's all good.
Adele Dazeem, we've let it go.
Well, definitely.
So this is a return to Broadway for you and a return to New York. Mm-hmm. You're a native of Queens. Does your life in some ways have some uncanny resemblance to what Elizabeth is going through in If Then?
Yes, actually, because I had my son out in California, in Los Angeles. And so being a New Yorker my whole life, going to college here, and then having him out there, I felt estranged. I come back to New York, and I had no idea what to do with a stroller and how to dress him when it was cold. And all of a sudden, I just didn't feel like myself in a city that was always mine. So that feels very true to me. And then all the options of just the ideas of, you know, every day being an opportunity to start your life over and try something new. And that's a theme in our show that really rings true for me.
Where did the idea for the plot come from, Brian?
Well, the idea for the show came from Tom Kitt, my partner, our composer, who had been facing a number of big changes in his life and started to think about all the sort of moments behind him that had been turning points, and many of which he hadn't recognized as turning points when he was upon them. And he thought it might be interesting to see if there could be a theatrical way of looking at the different choices we make and the different paths that life can take. So that was really the idea that we started with. And at a very early point, we came up with the idea of a woman who comes back to New York City to start her life new. And very shortly thereafter started working with Idina. And so from that point on, we really were developing a story, finding some ways of taking a woman who had a great deal of education and perhaps not all of the success or experience she had hoped for yet, and finding different ways for her to re-enter and re-experience New York and a professional life and a romantic life and see where her new choices would take her.
And tell me about that choice to make the lead character a woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, I grew up with three very strong women in my house. My mom and my two older sisters loom very large in my life still. And I think that women have always been fascinating to me as people who I understand a great deal and yet don't understand at all. And so I think those things that fascinate you and sometimes frighten you are the best things to write about. I also think that we were writing a show about choices, and for all sorts of reasons, I think the choices that women face in our world are in many ways more complex and more layered and have more dimensions often than the choices that men face, which is not to take anything away from men, but in terms of writing a compelling character and writing layered drama, it seemed like it would be worthwhile to have a woman.
I thought about that too, the dramatic potential of the biological clock when your character is a woman in her 30s and the
choices
are
funny what I hear. I don't know if you noticed when you saw the show, but you know, I always thought, is this going to be, you know, very female driven demographically, and a lot of the men, all my friends that come see the show are just a mess. So it strikes a chord in them as well. It's all just about choices and regret and chance, and you know, it uses this beautiful woman, Elizabeth, to orchestrate that, but it seems like men really get something out of it.
So there's Elizabeth, the character, and then you're following the storylines of Liz, which is one set of plot details, and Beth, another set of plot details. Michael, tell me about staging this and thinking about how to make this work with one lead actress playing so many roles at once.
Well, from the beginning, we were all excited about that theatrical challenge. And I think very early on, we talked about how different circumstances in both Liz and Beth's life would affect each woman and how we would see the changes in behavior, the change in body language, and ultimately a real change of point of view. They view the world differently because of their circumstances and experiences. And I think we had a good time exploiting those differences. Brian's given us the fantastic opportunity to flip back and forth often in the musical. But I think in rehearsal, we had a really good time separating out the stories and allowing each path to develop. And we created two different arcs. So it was a wonderful rehearsal process that was afforded us.
I'm speaking with director Michael Greif, Brian Yorkie, who did the book and lyrics, and Idina Menzel, who stars in the new Broadway musical, If Then. Idina, when I was watching, I had heard that the plot was about a woman making one set of choices where she prioritized relationships, another set of choices where she prioritized her career. But I was surprised that's actually not how it feels at the end. She has a different sort of family, both in the end and both storylines.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. You should.
I'm going to say that I'm really happy you came away with that experience. And I think Brian is really happy, too, because I'll let him answer more. But Brian did an awful lot of work so that nothing could be simply boiled down and it wouldn't be just those two choices for this woman or this set of priorities.
Tell me about that, Brian.
Well, I think that we wanted to, first of all, I think that some people have come away from the show with the idea that one character chooses one path and the other character chooses the other path. But I think you don't have to look at it too closely to realize that the choices she makes are not necessarily ones she knows are going to lead to a life that starts off being more concentrated in her family and one that starts off more concentrated in her work life. These are sort of little elements of happenstance which lead her down those paths and then, as I said before, loom larger. The story we wanted to tell for both of these women, for each of these sort of characters of Elizabeth, is that there are frustrations and there are fulfillments in life, and you don't always get all your fulfillment all at once, but you should very well hold out hope that you will find different fulfillments as life goes on. So while Beth certainly spends a great deal of her early focus on work, and Liz falls into a family, a marriage, and has children, both of them find great fulfillment in those courses, but also frustrations. And both of them ultimately, by the time the show comes around, get to experience and start finding fulfillment in, you know, in Beth's case, some romance and certainly a family of friends around her. And in Liz's case, she gets to sort of go through some very difficult times and then start over and look at what she might do in the world of work. So we, you know, we sort of were sort of saying, you know, maybe you can't have it all, or you can have it all, but you maybe not all at once.
And Brian Yorkie, both characters, Liz and Beth, have a biting sense of humor, and the writing is so sharp. There's a song that we can't even say the name on the radio.
We also can't print it on the CD case.
Is that the truth?
Which we hope to sell at Target and Walmart. So.
I see some asterisks in our future.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get that little explicit label on iTunes, which I think is really rock and roll.
Wow.
Very happy
Finally.
About that. You know, it's very funny. I mean, she can be acerbic. I think that it comes from First of all, Adina is naturally funny and very warmly funny and very a very smart performer. So the instant I saw that, I got very greedy, as writers do, and wrote her as much funny stuff as I possibly could. But I also think, and I think Adina would agree, that Elizabeth is a very smart woman. And she is a smart woman who, at the point we first meet her, has been frustrated in many ways. And I think smart, frustrated people do tend to be funny,
really,
and acerbic.
Funny.
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly the humor is something that bears her through, especially in that song that we can't mention.
Mm-hmm.
The song that must not be named.
It includes a bad word.
Brian is very smart and funny.
And
well.
Frustrated, so.
And can be acerbic in his humor.
Adina Menzel, what's it like to perform in this show where you are basically on stage nearly the entire time, mm-hmm. playing two different characters, following two arcs? Your voice, you sing full-throated through much of the song, through much of the show. What's it like?
It's exhilarating for me, to be honest. It moves so quickly. I'd rather be on stage than waiting off stage for my for someone else's scenes to happen. No, it just moves, you know. It's like this obstacle course for me, and it connects all the dots in a way that, you know, it makes my work easier and the preparation and all that. It just, everything's, you know, threaded in one and out the other, and the fulfillment, like Brian was saying, or the loss of one character is the preparation for the next character's scene, and so it's just fuels me in a way that makes life easier.
When you were thinking about how to play Liz and Beth, do you think of her as the same character?
I think of her as, like, I'm not real spiritual or anything, but I think of her as the same soul, the same woman who, like Michael said, is affected by different circumstances. And I think that's what I found the most challenging as an actor, was to, I really wanted there to be definitive things that made them different at the end, that you could say, as an actress, you could see my physicality was different, but I didn't want to give her a limp in one and an accent in the other, because she's the same woman and you know, it's like nature and nurture too. So it's about nuance and subtlety, and I just wanted to make sure that we found that. But because we went through this really great rehearsal process and we took our time, I think we were able to layer that in a way that didn't feel contrived.
And Michael Greif, tell me about what your direction was to the other characters in the musical. It's a community of friends in Liz and Beth's life. They're the same people. Did you direct them to be different characters?
Sure. One of the great rewards of the piece is that, you know, as Liz and Beth develop into different kinds of people, the way that people respond to her is different. And Brian's also given many of the characters very different life experiences that they encounter as they go down either the Liz or the Beth track. And in so many cases, we get to see how circumstances really change a person, or just interacting with a different person changes who you are. One of the last things that came into focus for me was how much Josh has changed. We only get to see him very briefly at the end of the play, but Brian has, you know, very wisely given him a third tour that's clearly had a very profound effect on this man.
Josh is your love interest, mm-hmm. in this.
So even it's wonderful to mine the play and to see how different experiences will change people over the course of the evening.
How is Adina Menzel different than 20 years ago when you worked with her in Rent?
I love working with Adina Menzel. And she's different in that she really knows how to prepare, and she really knows how to do her own work. And she digs very, very deeply into the circumstances of those characters we've been talking about. And she's very much the same in that she's still the most open-hearted and open-throated and easygoing listener and responder. She really gets that a lot of the acting is in the reacting, and she's delightful to work with and great to be on stage with, because it's fresh and it's new and it's alive all the time. And that's the same as it was 20 years
ago. Thank you, Michael. And I'm still a little unprofessional. I tend to break out into laughter in late afternoon rehearsals when I'm a little...
Yes,
so
you have to learn how to rehearse earlier in the morning. You need to schedule appropriately.
I've been speaking with Tony Award winner Idina Menzel, director Michael Greif, and Brian Yorkie. He wrote the book and lyrics for the new musical, If Then. It's playing at the Richard Rodgers Theater. We're going to go out with a song from the show. Thanks so much to all
of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
It's a clear white sun, and the city is glowing. And oh, at last that your life's begun. Because there's a moment when everything changes. There's a moment.